but it is 6:10. We welcome Corey Hirsch, who was up early this morning. I saw retweeting about milk in plastic bags, Hershey. Those were the good old days, hey?
They sure were, and I don't think anybody remembers but me and you, Perry.
Bic, is that what it's are you on to? That line, Bic? Can you remember?
Yes, I do remember milk and bag. And now, very, very short time period for me, but I do recall having milk and bags at the house as a kid.
How was that a good idea? Like, how did that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know. I just I remember there used to be a saying, and it used to be like Dougie Waite used to call me bag of milk. And I'll tell you, because if you've ever seen me, I don't tan very well. So he used to call me milk bag.
Yeah, that I'm going to sense Dougie if you Waite were called funny, bag man. Of milk, it wasn't because hey, you were. Milk bag. Yeah, milk bag. Yeah, that didn't mean the Muscle and Fitness was about to call you for a cover shoot if you're called milk.
Nope, that was that's the benefits of not being able to tan. But I'll
tell you, and this is a true story. My wife and I had we just got married or were engaged, and we saw for sale a like a milk run, like you know there were milkmen before, and it was in Kelowna and the outskirts. And I actually started kicking the tires, thinking, could that not be the greatest job to actually kind of like be a mailman? Like if we went there, hon, we love the Okanagan and we have a couple of milk trucks and I just drive to houses and drop off milk.
You know what? That would be a great thing, except for, you know, historically, everyone's like, are you the milkman's child? That's what people used to ask me because I'm a redhead.
Yeah.
I look nothing like my brother or my parents. So, you know, there's issues with that, right?
No, and to think about my time back then, I probably would have thought, hey, well, it's complimentary. Yeah, I think I made the right choice, but we're actually friends bring it up. Remember when you were talking about being a milkman?
Right, like that's just a job that went out the window. Now that's, you know, I guess, I mean, we're talking a lot about milk right now.
Yeah, well, hey, it's a slow time. Milk and cookies, Santa is coming, everybody. Hershey, let me ask you, times change. We're right dealing with milkman. There's a new wording in Florida. Roberto Luongo's a part of it. Francois Allaire's a part of it. It's the Florida Panthers Goaltending Excellence Department. Is that just some great PR spin to go, here's what we'll call it? Or are they doing anything new in Florida this year as far as their goalies?
I can't say that they're doing anything new. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but it's just a fancy term and spin on goaltending, I think. You know, everybody, even the Vancouver Canucks have a goaltending of excellence department, right? I mean, they've got a couple of guys, they've got a scout, they've got, you know, so it's kind of a fancy term. Just Florida's goaltending, it'll be better. I mean, I can't see why it wouldn't hurt. I mean, it's got to help, right? Because goaltending is such a big part of the game, and it's not like any other sport, you know, like football, a quarterback still, you know, they still can block. They're still doing other things. You know, basketball, you don't really have a goalie. You know, you don't. Baseball, you don't, right? But the only thing I can think of is maybe a catcher in baseball. But it's such a unique position, and there's no other team sport that has a completely different position like that. So historically, it's been left by the wayside. Coaches would just say, hey, just shut up and stop the puck, right? Because they didn't know what to say about it. So it's necessary, it's just another fancy term on what other teams are doing, in my opinion.
But it's got to be nice to see, right? Because you're the part of the goalie union, right? You guys stick up for each other. And you always want to see progress. This is good that we've seen this now. A couple of teams, you know, the Canucks kind of did it with a few years ago with dedicating resources to figuring this position out because it is so important and it feels like it's never been taken as seriously as it should. We all applaud goaltending when it's there, but we're quick to criticize too.
Here's the thing, and you know me, so I'm going to turn this into a mental health conversation. It's all between the ears eventually anyways. It's like you can teach – all these goalies are athletic. They're talented. But, you know, where it's goaltending is such a mental position. It's such a thinking position that you can do all the physical stuff you want. You can put together all the great goalies or whatever together. It boils down to you need somebody to be able to talk to them. And a lot of these teams don't have that, which is fascinating to me. If, you know, everyone agrees that it's 80% mental. goaltending, 20% physical. Ask any goalie expert. Yet nobody really hires anybody that knows what these guys are going through, what they can talk about. That's why former goalies end up goalie coaches. Other GMs just kind of go, hey, you take care of it.
When you were a bag of milk and starting your career.
I'm going to regret that.
No, that's okay. Trust me, I'm a couple bags of milk right now. Did you have, there was no goalie coach back then, Hershey. Were there in the early 90s? Well, who did you lean on to? Did you talk much with your other goalie partners in the NHL?
Those were the guys you talked to. The guy I had, Bob Froese in New York. Bob Froese was, but he was, again, more just a guy I would talk to. Not really goalie training specific. And then when I came to Vancouver, I had Glenn Hanlon. But Glenn Hanlon wanted to be a head coach, right? I mean, that was his... And he wanted to be an assistant coach. So he had other duties and more things that he wanted to do, but he still spent some time with me. My first real goalie coach would have been in Nashville when I had Mitch Korn. And if I didn't meet Mitch, I'd have been out of the game much sooner because goaltending changed, right? It changed to the butterfly style. So Mitch kind of taught me that. And I was the old school Kirk McClain stand up, but like Kirk and Billy Ranford and those guys, it was kind of too late for them, right? Like they were to change. I had to, when I was 26, 27, I had to completely change my style. So I did. And I probably squeezed another 7 or 8 more years pro out of it, getting paid. So that was a good thing. But if I don't meet Mitch Korn, that probably doesn't happen.
Corey Hirsch joining us, longtime NHL goalie. And also, you can hear him on Sportsnet 650 when the Canucks do resume, color commentator. We are asking Hirsch, on our poll question day, which Canuck player do you hope has a breakout year? On our poll question, we got Demko, part of that goalie union, Gaudette, Uiolevi, and McEwen. You have the benefit of not talking on Twitter here, so we'll extend it to beyond just these four players. But who is your breakout player this year for the Canucks?
I think Thatcher Demko's ready, and that's probably the easy pick, really. If you really look at it, I think that playoff experience is going to help give him some confidence that he knows that he can do that. Right? It just, you get better. And now all of a sudden you go from a guy that's going, yeah, I only play every once in a while. Can I play in the league? You know, I'm just trying to keep my head above water, to doing what he did. Now you have that confidence that you can do that. Will he do that night after night? Probably not. He's going to have some bad games, right? We can't expect him to do that every night, but I expect him to have a fantastic year. But it's going to be quick. Like, you got to start quick. It's going to be 56 games. If that, they're going to have to be ready to go right off the start.
Well, and let's point to this. I mean, you just said what young goalies and what it's all about is between the years.
Yeah.
Is that absolutely where Demko shows a strength, where you go, hey, everything he says, it sounds like between the years he has what it takes when he puts on the equipment?
Yeah, this guy's won at every level he's been at from when he was a kid. So I definitely think that he's a guy that can do it. He's quiet. He's a little bit, he doesn't speak much, doesn't say much. He's pretty quiet. But as far as, that type of ability, I think he has it. But you need the help. You need someone to guide you along the way. So hopefully he gets that in Vancouver.
It's funny. You say Thatcher Demko, but a lot of people up early this morning talking about the Canucks. And if I look at this question as, which Canuck player do you hope has a breakout year? The biggest void to me on this team, as we get set for them to take to the ice next month, is, boy, what do you got on the right side? Like, who's on the right side to do something other than Brock Besser? And if I'm going, I can hope that a guy has a breakout year. I think there's a lot of people who just forgot that in some really key games last year down the road, Zach McEwen was like an energy bunny there. Zach McEwen had a couple of goals. Like, I'm just going, I don't know if that's real, but if I get a chance to take some little magic dust and put it on a player and say, oh, Zach McEwen, you're going to find 18 goals, you're going to find 10 fights, and you're going to be a regular NHL and be a breakout player, I'm looking at Zach McEwen to go, thank you, we could use that on the right side.
Yeah, well, and that's where Jake Virtanen's going to have some competition, right? I think Zach McEwen's ready to. I wish they would have played him a little bit more last year in the playoffs, but you're right. He's ready to take a step, and hopefully, he's a guy that can do it. He's a gamer too, right? Like, he'll fight, he'll get in there, he gets dirty, he gets aggressive. So you need that guy in your lineup that wants to be there. So, I still don't think he's. I'm still on the right side. I still don't think they have, you know, they need one more guy. They had Toffoli, but they need another guy. The Zach MacEwen and Jake Virtanen, God love them, and they're great players, and I love them both because they're good people. But they need a high-end, talented right winger. Is this going to happen this year? I don't know. They'll probably wait and see how the season it gets going, and if they have a chance, they think they have a chance to make a run at it, they'll make a deal to get it done.
I do look at these four names, and McEwen's the interesting one because it's what I clicked on here on Twitter, so it's officially my vote. But of these four guys, it just feels like he's got the highest upside here, right? Like, Gaudette's, not that he is limited, but as far as upward mobility, like, there's Pettersson and Horvat in front of him, right? Demko, he's going to be battling with Holtby, and with a shortened season, they're going to be splitting time. Yo Levy, it's Schmidt and Myers ahead of him. McEwen, it's like, it is kind of all in front of you that if you want to, if he tapped into his potential, not that he's going to take full-time status away from Brock Besser or anything like that. It's just, you can go up and down that lineup on that right side because there is so much space.
Yeah, you can play him. You can play him anywhere, but let's be honest. If you want to be a Stanley Cup contender, I mean, you need a high-end mm-hmm. right winger on that side, and that's not Zach McEwen. He's never going to be that, and that's okay, right? I mean, that's okay. He's going to be a great player. I like him as a third line right winger. Adam Gaudette's going to be stuck behind those two guys forever. So is Adam Gaudette become expendable? Probably, right? Like, Adam Gaudette probably wants to be a top two line center, but can he do it? I don't know that yet. I didn't think in the playoffs he was that great. I think he can play a lot better than what he did, but I thought he played safe in the playoffs, right? Which helped his team. I thought he was good, but I expect more out of Adam Gaudette.
Okay, why do you, if you look at Zach MacEwen, most improved player, 2 years running, he wins that in Utica, comes up, has, let's say a cup of coffee with the Canucks, shows energy, shows a couple of goals, and you're going, there's no way it's going to happen. You know, look what the Habs did for Josh Sanderson. Is that AHL, AHL, AHL? Here he is. Big, can score. Are you certain that there's no way Josh MacEwen goes, hey, what a great story. Well, Burrows found a spot from the AHL. Like, is there not right place, right time?
I sure hope so, right? We all do. I cheer for Zach MacEwen. He's you really do hope that he turns into a player like that. I don't think it'll happen. I still see him as a third, fourth line, but I mean, we've seen that happen many times. Guys get pegged in by other people and they end up being a top two, like Burrows, right? Who would have expected that? So yes, mm-hmm. it can happen. I hope it does. But I still think the Canucks are going to need a high-end right winger. They still haven't found anyone to play with Horvat that can play at that level.
We wait and see. Olli Juolevi, by the way, is leading the poll, which, yeah, if you can find a defenseman, and they didn't use the high pick, and he ever comes through, that will certainly be something that benefits this team.
I got to think Olli Juolevi, he's not going to be Hughes, right? So I hope people don't expect that. He's not that type of player, but he's a guy that could be, you know, very serviceable on the back end for years to come if he can stay healthy.
Well, you got a guy in number 23 and go, you know what, a lot was expected of Alex Edler, and he's hung out here as long as he can. If you can get anywhere near to that, that's a massive win in what people thought, oh, gosh, we got that one wrong. Thank you, Hershey. Appreciate it, bud. Stay safe.
No worries, man. Will do. Thanks, gentlemen. Have a good one. Ciao.